everyone. Welcome to the Are You the One Season 7 wrap up. I never know how to start a show, and it's not getting any better. My name's Allie Lasher. We are here to talk about episodes 1, 2, and 3 of the new season, and I can't do that on my own. So I am joined by my co-host, Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, how's it going?
Good to be back. I did the math yesterday and I realized we haven't talked about Are You the One since like what, the end of 2017. So it's been like 8 months.
Oh, wow. It feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. I know. And I think it's a little refreshing that we haven't had to watch Are You the One in so long. So I think we're just hit with these three episodes and we're back to our hell.
I love what we do on this podcast where we make it like we're somehow obligated to be watching the show. Like nobody wants us to do this.
There's like six people out there that want us to do this.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't think Are You the One was coming back. I think everybody thought Are You the One was canceled. And then kind of out of nowhere, Lighthearted Entertainment and Are You the One casting and everyone on Twitter was like blowing up or casting for season 7. And I have a complicated relationship with Are You the One because I love Are You the One, but we've been hearing, not in a while, but there was like Tyler O'Brien was writing about some like sexual misconduct that may or may not have happened. And I think I needed the 8 months. Like, I was ready to not do the podcast anymore. But we're coming to the show with a critical eye. Ready to call out any bullshit. So I feel good. I got that advice from Haley Strong, who covers
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor Network of shows, which has its own problems.
You think just a little bit. I feel like DeMario is probably, like, not the person to look up to. So no, I get it.
Oh, God, DeMario. Wow, really throwing it back. So what's going on? I assume you've been watching Big Brother. Have you been watching The Challenge?
Oh yeah, I've been all caught up on Big Brother and The Challenge. I feel like my life, like I have my real priorities and then I have my like reality TV show priorities. And I feel like it's all backed up now that Are You the One gave us like that out. The 2 hour first episode really messed me up because I'm used to these like 45 minute Big Brother episodes, The Challenge episodes where nothing really happens. And now they throw you a 2 hour Are You the One, just kind of messing me up a bit.
Also, I think you had to do this too. I wanted to text you yesterday, but I figured it's not going to make it any better because we have to record today. But like, for anyone out there, do not watch 3 hours of Are You the One in one day.
No, never, ever, ever, ever.
I finished yesterday with the third hour at like 1:30 a.m. and my eyes started to bleed.
You know what? Like, I feel like more body parts than I like to explain after watching that shit show. And the thing is, I started watching at 4:30 in the morning. So finished at like 7. And then I had to rewatch the last episode again this morning because I was like, I don't remember any of it. So I feel like if there's one thing to avoid with Are You the One, it's watching more than 1 hour straight.
So I'm really happy that I didn't text you at like midnight being like, hey, FYI, don't watch this one day.
Yeah, too late.
So I definitely think Are You the One, I'm glad they gave us 2 hours in the sense that like they're putting, it seems like not only did they just not cancel the show, but they seem to put a lot into it.
A lot of marketing, right? Like there's a lot of ads running for it.
I'm seeing it everywhere. That's also talking about real priorities versus TV priorities. I have no real priorities, so I get very targeted marketing to reality television.
That's right to you.
But before we get to Are You the One, how have you been liking The Challenge?
So at first, like I know everyone is having a lot of issues with that. Oh, there's too much drama and there's not enough like actual challenges, which I get. Like I understand that. But I feel like at the same time, watching Are You the One has prepared me for just drama. And then like watching Jersey Shore and Floribama Shore, like there's just drama. So when I see like The Challenge with just drama, it doesn't throw me through a loop where it's like this is the worst thing ever. I just kind of watch and enjoy what I'm seeing. So like I don't dislike it. Like I'll always appreciate it for being on for so long, but is it my favorite season up to this point? No, definitely not.
Interesting. Okay, hot take.
Yeah, pretty hot take.
I have no bell, but just you get my congratulations for hot take.
Thanks.
Cool. So all right, so we get the regular. And this is always my pet peeve, and I'm going to have to just lean into the skid. But I hate when they have a 2 hour premiere, but they call it episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah, so, it's annoying. I agree.
So we're going to talk about episode 1/2 and talk about stupid things to care about. But that is my pet peeve. The intro they give you is absolutely terrifying. Like, right? You start sort of meeting the cast, but not really. It's just sort of like, I think Kwasi's there and some other people. And, like, it's just like, I murdered my ex-boyfriend. Ha ha ha. And the music plays. Like, it's really terrifying.
It was so long ago at this point. Like, it was 3 hours of footage ago. So all I have in my notes is weird intros. And yes. I really, like, vaguely remember it, but it's so fuzzy that I just have weird intros to go off of.
So we'll go through one by one. And I think the best way to do it is sort of, like, based on how they showed up, like, when they showed up significantly on the episode. So we'll take you through that. But what I've noticed, or what I was noticing, and maybe this was just, like, 3 hours of shock, but I'm starting to feel like there are repeat, not like archetypes, because like I'm not like, you know, like that. But there are like definitely people on this show who remind me of people from the past seasons. And I don't know if that's they're trying to cast certain people or if it's just like it's been 7 seasons and now the same people are starting to show up.
They might be recycling. I swear there was one guy and I think his name is Brett. I think he's Brett. Like I'm still obviously early in the season with 22 people. It's tough to remember everyone. And at first glance, I thought he looked like Morgan from Are You the One 4? And I swore it was him. And obviously as the show went on, I realized it, like obviously it was a different person. But
as the show went on, that's when you realized it.
Yeah, no, it took like 45 minutes of Are You the One to be like, okay, that's not the same guy. No, but I also feel like to go off of that point, that when we're watching these seasons over and over and over, it feels like they're targeting people who think every single person in this house thinks the world revolves around them. I feel like that's the number one priority when it comes to Are You the One casting. Does the world revolve around you? Yes. Okay, you're through to the next round.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems like a pretty good rule of thumb for any reality TV casting, right? Like,
I guess so, but I feel like Big Brother and even like some people on the challenge aren't as like hardcore with this. I feel like Are You the One for some reason, it's like every person thinks that like they are the star and it feels like they all believe it.
Yeah, no, I buy that. I mean, you definitely, to go on a reality TV dating show, especially on MTV, true, you definitely have to think you're hot for sure. And I think, you know, if you think you're hot, you think the world revolves around you.
Did I ever tell you when I was like really heavy in the YouTube thing that the person that got like that I worked with sent over it was like season 2 of Are You the One casting and they contacted us to send in tapes and I can't believe I never said this and of course said no because like I'm 5'8 and my muscles are limited and like it just wouldn't be a good fit for me but like I do remember like it was such a weird thing because I'm like no this is like the worst idea ever like going on a dating show like this and that was before I even watched Are You the One so I just like at first glance so like I don't know what they like they have all these people who are like the most egotistical people I don't know what they ever saw in even thinking of potentially me sending in a casting tape.
This is amazing. Two things. One, because of how you just described yourself as 5'8 with limited muscles. So it wasn't a joke for you.
I'm not lying.
And two, because Brian and I started the Are You the One podcast with season 2. We both just sort of like unsuspectingly watched season 1. And then we're like, we both really like the show. Let's do it. And now I'm still here for some reason. But that's so funny. All right. I wonder if they would have had like a twin twist.
No chance. Like, we're just not, like, and I'm not, like, being, like, the self-deprecating guy at all. But, like, you need to be, like, there's a lot of, like, and I know there's, like, we had, like, Ozzy, that one kid who was, like, not the best looking. But for the most part, these are all very good looking people. Like, and I'm talking, like, 9s and 10s.
Well, I'm talking, like, 9s and 10s.
I'm cool with 6-7 range. Like, I'm really cool with that. Like, I'm so content with that range in life. And if I get 7, I'm very happy.
You failed your first... your only qualification for being on the show. Clearly you don't think the world revolves around you. So
I could start maybe for like season 8 if they go like the like average cast, like then we'll see what happens.
Like average Joe, Are You the One edition? Or Are You the One
exactly.
Joe edition? All right.
That's perfect.
I would watch that.
I'd probably be awful on the show anyway. So like let's just move on from me being, see, I am making it about myself. I'm talking
about
me being
on
the show.
It wouldn't be on MTV, though. It would definitely be on, like, WeTV, and I would watch that. I'm here
or, like,
that.
Lifetime?
Yeah, I feel like it would... I was thinking Lifetime, and I quick bumped to WeTV, but...
Hallmark, maybe?
It becomes now a scripted show about your heartbreak on this fake reality show.
Oh, God.
Being so average.
My personal nightmare.
All right, so let's talk about the first couple after the terrifying intro. Similar to our podcast, there was a terrifying intro, and now we're going to talk about Are You the One. Kayla and Cam. Kayla reminds me a lot of Kiana, and I don't
yes.
really know why.
I honestly, it seems like, and I feel always guilty when I'm bashing people who seem nice. Like for certain people, I'll bash dick. I don't care. Like, she seems like a nice girl, but it also, she came across as like a bit jumping into things too quick and maybe a bit needy. And like, that's just the vibe I got. And I know we talked about Kiana last season with Michael, and she was more than a bit needy. So yeah, I did get that vibe as well.
Yes, I thought she had a very early start in the house, like very ready to fall for anyone who is there. Different than Michael, with like, she already knew him from Instagram, but like, so like, to Kayla's credit, less creepy, but like definitely those needy vibes. And she sets her sights on Cam, who is self-described. He is black, from West Virginia, and Republican.
Same. I'm just kidding. I'm not at all. Like, I'm not. Now, I realize that was a bad joke to make when it comes to politics. Not at all, everyone. That's all I'm going to say.
I feel like it's like not a great joke to make when it comes to race, geography, or politics.
I thought, like, I honestly thought the race and geography wasn't that bad, because it's like, clearly I'm a white kid not from West Virginia. And I'm like, oh,
clearly
no,
I'm
politics.
The podcast.
Oh, yeah, you can see me. You can see me. Just imagine. Well, come on. You hear my voice. Let's be real.
All right. So, yeah, I am sort of surprised. I know there's going to be a Trump supporter on Survivor this season. I don't feel like that's been a storyline on Big Brother. I'm trying to think this season. I know last season Cody was on, but like, I think it's an interesting angle for Are You the One to take.
Agreed. I think it's very, it's because I feel like with MTV, they're very like, obviously they're very open to everything and they're all about equality. So I just didn't expect casting to go in this direction. I'm kind of glad they did though, because I just think it's so different and it kind of surprised me. And I'd like to see how that works when it comes to dating. But I do think it was a different direction. And I'm kind of excited to see how it plays out.
So I think it's fine that he's on the show. Like, I don't, I feel sort of neutral about the
yeah.
whole thing. Not politics, but about his presence.
No,
right
I know,
now.
I know, yeah.
I think it's like, right now is very one note, right? It's very much like, I'm a Trump supporter, but like, you need to see me for the real me. And like, I'm not my politics. And like, we should be able to have intelligent discussion. Like, I'm getting really over that, because I don't feel like he's actually doing any of that. Like, it's just very much like the one note of like, see me for me. But where is like the substance? Explain your opinion. Like, why do you feel that? Like, you know what I mean? It's not that I want him to like be preaching on television about his politics, but I just don't feel like it's actually creating anything. It's like, all of the people are saying, I'd never date you because you're a Trump supporter. He's saying that's really narrow-minded of you. And then Kayla's like, we can agree to disagree. And like, that's sort of the end of it. And that to me is like not that interesting. I'm going to be very unprofessional. My phone is charging about 4 feet away, but I screen capped something Cam said and I want to grab it. So hold on
cool.
one second. I mean, you
no,
talk
no,
amongst time. Yourself.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I have to talk. I have nobody to talk to. It defeats the purpose
okay,
of
I'm
talking.
Back. Okay.
I don't worry. I kept the room hot.
All right, cool. So, yeah, so that's the other thing that bothers me about Cam is, like, he says, like, I'm more than who I vote for, right? Like, politics aren't who I am. And I yeah. get it that he's, like, he's a good-looking guy, but he's cast on the show because he's a Trump supporter, like, 150%.
Yes.
So I get that he has to, like, make his politics who he is on the show. But so he's tweeted, at the end of the day, my political party affiliation and the opinions I possess on foreign and domestic policy issues, which is the same thing as saying you're political. Okay. Do not define me, but rather contribute a small portion of who I am as an individual and the why behind it. Hashtag Twitter after dark. So he's saying that that's not who he is. But then in the same, like 2 days before that, he tweeted, all I can say is, quote, I support my president, Donald J. Trump, hashtag MAGA, American flag emoji, at MTV, at Are You the One, at POTUS, at Real Donald Trump, at Ivanka Trump, and posted a picture of his cast bio. So, like, you're saying it's not who you are, but when you introduce yourself to the world, like, that's all you can say?
He didn't tag enough people in that post.
Here's the biggest, yeah, I know, where's Don Jr.? Here's the biggest problem, okay? This is the most egregious thing of all. He writes, tune in to MTV, August 8th, blah, blah, watch myself and others, search for love and $1 million, whatever. Side note, West Virginia, born and raised, but DC is where I spend my days. He misquotes the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song, and I have had enough of Cam.
Yeah, we have enough Cams on our shows.
Most of my days, not just my days, Cam.
That's it's Cam. These millennials. How old is he?
The buyers usually don't give any information, but he looks 40. I thought you said he is 40. I was like, yeah.
I'm looking up right now.
Maybe 21.
Oh, so you forget how young these people are. Like, I always think they're older.
Oh, no,
he
can't be 21 because he's in law school.
But he's 24. He's 24.
24, okay.
Yeah. And his last name is Viney. That's annoying. Sorry. That has nothing to do with him at all. I agree with what you're saying.
That's fine.
Oh, Vinny. Yeah, I guess you're right. That is true. Maybe let's just go with Vinny for our personal sakes. So here's the thing that bothered me about him. I feel like that's like at this point in how politics are with today's current worldly temperature, I feel like to say like, I'm not who I vote for, I'm not who I support. Like, I don't know. Like, isn't that just, if you support someone, don't you stand for at least something similar to what they stand for? So if someone stands for burning humans alive and you're like, I support them, isn't everyone going to be like, okay, like, you're pretty much an asshole. So like, to keep saying like, well, whoever I support, that's not who I am. I feel like that's kind of like, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that. I feel like you kind of are who you support. Now, when it comes to dating, I feel like maybe in the past with the political structure, maybe like 5-10 years ago, people could say, you know what? Like, I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican. We can make it work. For me personally, if someone had extremely opposing political views, I think it'd be extremely tough to make that relationship work. So I do get if someone's in the house says, you know what? We differ completely. I respect your opinion, but I don't see us having a relationship. Like, I do think that that's going to happen for 90% of the girls in the house.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better. I could have said it much, much worse and would have. I completely agree with everything you said. I think maybe you can say, like, the candidate doesn't I don't fully agree with X, Y, and Z, but I voted
exactly
for X, Y, and Z. But if you're, like, if you're voting for someone, you should stand behind that person and say, like, yeah, this person represents my views, and my views are part of who I am. Like,
exactly.
So that's one of the things that pisses me off so much about him being like, I'm not my political views. This is just how I want the world to be, and we're all going to live in that world, and I don't care how it affects you. Anyway,
he just needs to find.
Really
no, I get it. I think everything you said is great too. And I this guy, like, I understand he's on the show for this reason, but unless you find someone maybe like a Kiana who like is extremely dependent, I feel like in the long term, I do not see it any world Cam comes out of the show in a relationship.
Which I would like. Cam, I would love to watch on television two young people having like a discussion about the world today. Like, if Asia, that conversation to Asia and Cam became more than just like, I would never date you because you're a Trump supporter, and like, which I totally respect, but like, evolved into sort of like, well, why do you feel those views? Like, as a Black man, does that like, how do you get around X, Y, and Z issue? Like,
exactly.
You know, I wish that was a conversation where Kayla is just sort of like, well, Donald Trump isn't like that nice of a man. And you're like, okay, well, she's obviously going to be fine with it. And she's more on the agree to disagree. I don't know that she's like ever going to have a tough conversation with him.
She left that hammock thing with a MAGA hat on.
Did she?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
I was like, imagine like she just walks out like, yeah, like he's like an okay guy. Like, I she seems like that type of person. But like, you know what? Hopefully she proves us wrong. I doubt she will, but hopefully she does.
Let's talk about Samantha, who is a very intense restaurateur who works at a dive bar, a nice bar, I forget what the middle one was, and a 5-star restaurant.
Doesn't she work 75 hours a week? That's her?
Yeah, she has very rigorous standards, including, do you file your own tax returns? I am not crazy about Samantha.
Shocker. We're not crazy about people. What a start.
No, but do you like?
No, I agree. I'm with you. I'm very with you. I think she, like, I don't know. I with like the interaction with her and Lewis, right? That was where Lewis was kind of like, we could be a match. And she was like, no, we're definitely not a match, right? That was the whole start to Samantha.
That sounds right.
Okay.
Yes.
So, like, and at first I'm like, okay, he's kind of like annoying. But I think he was just kind of having fun with her, and it felt like she was super, like, just rude. And I feel like when you're starting to make your, you want people to get to know you, you just, it's very easy to be nice. You know, it's very easy to start out the show being nice and having people to get to know you from being a nice person. It seems like she was extremely uptight to start. And the fact that she was so close off to a guy, it almost felt like she was just doing it to do it. Now, hopefully she, and I say this every time we talk about a human introducing the last two seasons, like, hopefully they change our mind, every single person. Now, I just see Samantha being uptight, and I don't see her straying from that.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who finds it sort of difficult to be nice, she's just very intense, and I respect that she's, like, I just read her bio, so it's, like, she's a manager at bars in Chicago. Like, it's cool that she's ambitious. It's cool to see someone on Ari the One who's not, like, I don't really think she's here to be famous. I don't know that she's even here to find love, though. I could see her, like, loosening up as the season goes on, but as we'll get into later, into the 3 hours of this episode, like, the way she sort of goes about it with Zach and the, like, crazy crushed red velvet romper she wears at the end, I'm not thrilled yet. The jury's out.
We're in the same spot. We're both definitely not thrilled with Samantha up to this point.
All right, let's talk about Lewis. You mentioned that Lewis is intro sort of in conjunction with Samantha. Lewis, my style of game is harassing women, and I can get any woman I want. I don't know his last name, but I wanted to make that like a fake middle name.
Well, hold on. I can find it. I'm on the Wikipedia. It is Lewis Belt. Oh, Belt. What a name.
All right. Lewis, my style of game of Jurassic Women Belt. Like, I was very put off by his first interactions with women in the house. He grew on me later. Like, I really like Lewis, but I think his first entrance into the house of, like, looking at your boobs, like, was very strange.
It's very high school-y. Like, it's very, like, freshman in college.
What
He's
high school did you go to?
There were definitely like douchebags in high school, like, oh, let's go, girl, like that kind of like hype, I'm gonna get in your face, I'm gonna be over the top. And like at first it just reminded me of like very douchey over the top kids in high school. That's the vibe I got. I'm like, he's too old to be doing this, like have a normal conversation.
But how old is he? 23. Is he too old to be doing this?
We're definitely too old to be doing this. But like, I would think by the age of 21, you should know how to interact with the opposite gender or your gender or anyone. So like by 23, I'm like, okay, you shouldn't be like hollering. And I put that in air quotes at someone in that way. I think that as the episode went on, I think we saw more of a genuine fun side to him. And I hope that maybe his intro was playing it up a bit. And like maybe he was just being a little over the top and a little hype because of the whole situation. But as the episode went on, I did also see a genuine side to him where it's like, okay, maybe he could be a little bit likable. Maybe he's not taking this whole thing way too seriously where he's like, I could fall in love. This could be my perfect match. So I did kind of like that. And I feel like, but everything he did was a reaction for the camera. It seemed like even when he walked out of the, and we'll get to this later, when he walked out of the bedroom after interacting with a certain female in a specific way, I feel like it was a reaction for the camera.
Interacting with a certain female in a certain way. Yes,
no spoilers here.
I don't disagree with that. Lewis is definitely one to watch here. We put him on. He's simmering.
Oh, he's definitely simmering.
I, though, am nutsa about nutsa.
What a name.
I don't know what to, because she was like, you can call me Nutsack. Everyone seemed to be calling her Nutsa.
But like, okay, why would you ever tell anyone to call you Nutsack? Like, I don't think any, like, even as a joke, it's like, no. Like, if somebody calls you Nutsack, I feel like that's like the worst thing someone can call you. Not the worst.
I don't know. I kind of think she's leaning in. Like, your name is, she's probably been teased about her name her whole life. And she's like, you know what? Call me whatever you want. I don't care.
I guess you're right. And she's from Jersey too. I feel like Jersey's always very well represented on these shows.
I'm shocked.
Right?
So I like Nutsa a lot. I was wary of her because, so the Are You the One from seasons past, different people from Are You the One were in Connecticut last weekend hanging out. They do, which I think should be televised. Like, I think they should just have these, like, one-off Are You the One weekend reunions on MTV, because I want to see what happens.
And even put it on the website.
They did?
No, I said even if they put on the website, yeah, that'd be something.
And it's, like, totally organized by the people on Are You the One, but, like, they should be doing this because it seems like they have a lot of drama and a lot of fun. So, like, Nerese was, I, like, follow Nerese on Instagram, and I was watching her story, and she, like, reposted a picture from Nutza's story that was, like, why aren't you at the Connecticut thing? Because some people from her cast were there. And she was like, because I could stay thirsty from over here. And Nerese was like, oh, I bet you're thirsty. Like, popped off on her, like, story, wow, like, shut up. And so basically, Nutza apparently has, like, a psycho, in, like, social media presence, and people from Are You the One are already pissed at her. So she's nice. One to watch, because I like her on the show.
Yeah, I feel like it's always fun when the old cast members try to, like, keep up their follower count by, like, starting beef with the new cast members, and it happens every season. So I feel like the new cast members, you know, they could do whatever they want. They're on the show. But I think it's always fun when the oldies try to keep their relevance up.
We also need to be keeping an eye out for which one of the cast members Carolina will date.
You said one. I feel like that's limiting her.
Carolina, watch.
Yeah, I'd say at least two, three, maybe five. She'll do her best, though, and then they'll break up before the next season starts. She has a really good cycle going.
Are you up to date with Carolina's booth?
She dumped... I know her and Keith broke up from last season, but that's all I'm caught up with.
So she is now dating Cam Bruckman, who is basically the Keith of his season from... It might even be season two.
I'm going back to look. Like, honestly, I'm drawing a huge blank with Cam.
There was a time when Cam was going to be on the podcast. He's like a cowboy. He said almost nothing on his season. Okay. He was absolutely adorable.
Yep, I do remember. Okay. But season four, why is she going back? And the huge guy, right? The, like, he was, like, extremely tall. That guy?
That sounds right. Yes, because all of her Instagrams with him are like, I had to be on a stool for this.
Wow, she's going back in time? That's so unlike her. She really what is she doing? It's season seven, she's going to season four? How is that going to do anything for her?
He's legitimately Keith from season four. Like, they're the same exact person.
I think it might have a few inches, but that's it.
So good for them.
Oh, God, that's how you worded that awfully, too. You should have worded that better, but okay.
Yeah, how well do you know Keith? all right, so let's talk about Tevin and Kenya, who are sort of the Paris and Pratt of the season, if you will. They make an instant connection. Tevin is, like, pretty, but the asymmetrical braids are confusing to me. Like, I don't really I think a lot of these guys probably look way better in person than they do on the show. Like, people are falling all over themselves for some of these guys. And I'm like, what? Like, they're very good looking guys, but, like, let's not fight each other about it. Like, they're not that good looking.
I agree. I think Tevin's a very pretty human, though. Like, he reminded me of the one guy from last season. Was it Clinton? Yeah. He's like kind of like the very pretty. Like, he might be the prettiest person in the house.
I was talking to Rourke while I watched this. And I was going to say Rourke from who's subbed on the podcast before, but I guess she's Rourke from Survivor. But she, what did I say about him? Oh, yeah. He looks like a cartoon vampire to me, sort of. and I just, like, can't really look away, like, forget that.
I feel like he's, like, a guy who was, like, normal hair before this, like, normal guy talked normally. And they're like, we want you to play the character of the biggest douche you could possibly play, and he's like, okay, like, I'll get like one long braid, I'll talk in sentences that, like, say as many words as possible when I can say, like, oh, there was a thing, oh my God, I can't wait, I was waiting for this, I can't believe I just remembered. He said something that was so absurd, and we'll get to it. Okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself, it was late in the episode, but I am so excited to read you one of his sentences, because it is the
there
most
no
crazy
rules.
Shit
now.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, I have it. Yeah, it's the last thing I have in my notes. So it was when he was talking to Jasmine. I'm sure we'll get into her. And his thing was he wanted to see if she wanted to go swimming. So he said, if you down to throw your suit on, I'm down to take a little dip in the pool. Instead of just saying, do you want to go swimming? And I really want to play a game, like, as the season goes. Like, did Tevin say this? Or I think of, like, ridiculous things that, like, somebody could say. And, like, you have to say if he said it or not.
I'm down for that. Let's do it.
If you down to throw your suit on, like, we could take a dip in the Tevin pool.
I like that. I'll throw my suit on anytime you want to play that.
I didn't do it this episode because it was 6 a.m. and I was about to pass out. But I'll do it for the next episode for sure.
Well, that's also with Tevin. Like, he must have a big book because everybody's on the same page as him. Like, he went to every girl and was like, oh, I'm so glad we're on the same page.
I don't think he can write. So, like, I don't think he has a book.
Oh, I like Tevin. I think Tevin and Kenya are... I mean, let's just jump ahead into talking about them. Yeah. So basically, it's just a lot of self-sabotage. Like, Kenya is sort of insecure, so she hooks up with Daniel. She says she always has one foot out. Then Tevin makes a legitimate connection with Jasmine. And so then, in retaliation, and in fairness, like, Tevin's doing it now in front of her. And so Kenya sees at the party, and then Kenya goes to the boom boom room with Lewis. So I think the issue that will always plague them is that Tevin's actually in a legitimate love triangle between two women he seems to like. Kenya is just, like, throwing herself emotionlessly into these, like, revenge hookups with guys that Tevin's always going to have the upper hand because Tevin actually has a romantic interest in the other woman.
Yeah, she's definitely doing... And it was weird, the makeout session with Daniel, like, that was so bizarre to me because it was like he was being uncomfortably forceful and where it was like difficult to watch where he kept like trying to pull her face in. So I'm like, okay, like, she's going to get up and leave. But I guess like she obviously made out with him a bit, but like it was so bizarre that he happened to walk out while they were doing it. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to assess this yet, but I do think that you're right. Tevin probably dives in with his heart with this love triangle, and she's more like, okay, like, I'm doing it for either A, for fun, or B, to spite you.
And I do think that she will have limited chances with Tevin, because I believe him when he says the matchup, like, I don't do, like, eight chances. But he's now doing the same thing. So I think we will have a long road with Tevin and Kenya.
Oh, yeah. And would you want anything else?
Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
No, we don't get much from Kwasi. Is it Kwasi? Kwasi?
Yes, my hometown hero.
Is he from your hometown?
Yes, another person from literally, he probably, like, Kareem actually, like, lives in the town I live in because I moved recently. But Kwasi lives, I would say, like, 3 minutes away. Like, people from my high school follow him on Instagram. Like, it's a lot more, it seems like more people from that I live like by know him. So it's, I don't know why they keep coming to me. It's like, and I'm taking complete credit for it, obviously, because of our podcast.
Well, two questions about that. One, were you offended that he said he was from Ghana then and didn't give credit?
No, not at all. No, Ghana's way better.
And then two, you saw Kareem at the gym, correct?
Yes, this is like super, like, and I wonder, because like he's probably the only person from, or the one that I still follow on Instagram. Usually after the season, I do my cleanse, right? Like, I unfollow everyone. So Kareem, like, I still, like, I'll see his stories every now and then. So I'm like, okay, like, and it was that situation where I'm like, I have talked about this guy's life to such a deep extent. And like, I bashed him, and then he was my favorite cast member because he was so insane. And like, I did a full, like, I switched my views on Kareem last season. But for in person, like, I'm trying to think of like anything I could give. He's taller than I expected, which I feel like a lot of these cast members are. He's probably like 6'2". Like, I didn't expect him to be that tall, to be honest. And he wasn't yelling at anyone or causing fights at the gym. So that's like the furthest I got.
So you have an obligation, and I actually think about this when I'm in New York, that, like, it's a very high likelihood that I would see someone from the challenge or Are You the One walking in New York. And I never – I actually was at a show yesterday, and I saw Ron Howard, and my mom wanted me to take a picture of him from, like, 20 rows away. Like, it would have been fine, and I, like, couldn't do it. Like, I don't paparazzi people. I don't ask people for pictures. I literally have told myself, if I see someone I talk about on the podcast, I must go up to them and ask for a picture for the sake of the podcast. You have failed us greatly, Adam.
I don't think, like, even if you said, Adam, like, here's $200, like, go take a picture of Kareem. I, especially at the gym, I feel like the gym is such a weird place to do it. And it's just, I don't know, like, there's a part of me that, like, takes over that's like, I would not move from where I was to go near this guy. Cause I just feel like, I don't know what it is. I think it's because I'm very, like, I don't care. Like, I talk shit about everyone that we talk about. And, like, I just feel this, like, I'm the asshole from the internet that's bashed the person they see on TV. Like, I could accept that I'm that guy until I have to see them in person.
All right, you failed us. Your explanation does not change the way.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the gym after the podcast, and if with the stars align, I will see Kareem, and I will take a picture. Like, if that it's meant to be, I'll take a picture.
All right, let's get to the woman of the hour. I pulled this. Why does this never? Shoot, I'm sorry. I pulled this. Okay. From Twitter, and now it was the funniest tweet I've ever seen that I have to give credit. I can't just read the tweet, so now you listen to me stall. Okay, JR at Joe Regry on Twitter tweeted, Gio and Kiana walked so that Bria could fly. Let's talk about Z and Bri.
Oh God, what a mess. Give me your. Yeah. I want to hear your opinion on
We have some questions to sort through the mess. They're all the same question, but I'm going to read all of them. Mike Bloom tweeted, I'm so excited to hear you and Adam talk about Hurricane Bria. It really teeters on that tenuous reality TV border of, wow, this is amazing, and this is horrifically awkward. She needs help. Jennifer O'Hara says, will Bria become the biggest lunatic in MTV history? I have seen quite a few meltdowns, but I can't remember someone having the sheer number she has had in this short a time. Mike Bloom, how much did Adam love Bria going at the punching bag, considering his affinity for the one drone shot of what's his name? His name's Oswaldo. Doing it in season 5 after that blackout. Caitlin Glancy, how excited are you to see Bria on the challenge? So let's discuss Bria through all of those angles. Gee whiz.
What a girl, right? Like, what a girl we've got presented to us this season. All right, first I want to see her age, because that's very important to me when it talk about it. If she's 21, get it. Okay, she's young, crazy. How old is she? Bria is 21. Okay, cool. That makes total sense. Now, I think I really want to address the punching bag first and foremost. We've seen a lot of people. Yeah, we've seen a lot of people take their jab at it, literally and figuratively. And they usually wait. They have to build up to it. Not Bria. She went for the punching bag in a bold move on episode 1 or 2. I don't remember because they were combined and it was 4 in the morning. But she went for the punching bag already. Honestly, that's all I needed. Like, I was sold on her. She's my new favorite.
So, yeah, Bria is complex. I think Mike Bloom nails it here, and he says it's, like, right on the line between, like, oh, my God, this is great television, and, like, this person needs psychiatric help. Mm-hmm. What I think keeps me interested in Bria and not yet, like, what I'll call the Tony detachment, where I'm no longer interested in his problems, is, like, she has these highs and lows where she, like, breaks down, or she, like, punches the confession or whatever. Like, she, like, loses her mind. And then she, like, has these crying moments where she's, like, I want to change. I don't want to be like this. This is how I ruined my last relationship. So it's like a little bit of the self-awareness where there is room for growth, to the point where I think this might actually be good for her. And I say that hesitantly because it's definitely setting her off. But I think being able to see her behavior and see, like, 21 strangers react to it might actually give her a wake-up call that she needs. And she's like, there is some sort of self-reflection happening. It's not just like monsoon after monsoon after monsoon. But it was horrifying. She gets into this relationship sort of with Zach right off the bat. Bria is a good, crazy girlfriend, as she self-describes, and Zach makes bangles for the boys. It's just love at first sight. And she already starts threatening him. Like, if we're not a match, I'm going to stab myself in the throat. If you talk to any other girls, like, I'll kill you. And that, it's like, it's like Sam on this season. Like, she's going to stomp a blood hole in him.
Good reference.
So that's, I guess I don't even know what else to say about it for now. We're gonna have to take it step by step as she goes off pretty much periodically throughout the episode. Right now, I'm still willing to say that I'm happy Bree is on the show. Mm-hmm. I think A, she makes good television, but B, I do think there's like nuance to her, and I think she might be able to overcome this. Like, even there were moments where I was like shocked how well she was handling it for her. Like, I wrote it in the notes as we go through. Like, she didn't just immediately pop off at everything, but when she does pop off, it's really scary, and I do think she could be sent home for soon.
No, you're probably right.
A lot of people tweeted, like, there are 11 couples in case Bria gets sent home, but Rourke brought up, and I want to raise this point, that this is, like, a really important time to have a conversation about double standards. If Bria were a man, like, there's no question that I would not even be saying, like, oh, well, he's a little self-reflective. Like, if he was like, I'll stab you in the throat to a, like, and so that's on me. Like, I have to adjust that. But I think it's worth considering.
Here's what the Bria thing that, like, got to me the most. I think I really felt bad for her. Like, of course, like, I love punching bags and I love when people go crazy. But it to see her switch, like, so quickly and go from, like, I'm going to kill you to, like, I'm cool to crying. Like, it was really sad to watch because it's like, all right, she had to go through, like, something really messed up in her past, most likely. And I think she even mentioned, like, getting screwed over, getting cheated on, whatever it may have been. And something obviously, like, has triggered this. It feels like this is not the show for someone like Bria, which is, of course, why they cast her. Because it's the show where literally everyone is dating everyone. And me and you have talked about this standard before where people are like, oh, you're cheating on me. And we're like, nah, it's Are You the One. Like, you could pretty much, like, it's Are You the One. Like, this is what you have to expect. Everyone's going to hook up with everyone, or at least try to. Now, and I just think that this is not for her well-being. I could see this messing her up down the road. Or, like you said, we could see this coming-of-age story where this 21-year-old girl transforms into someone who understands that, you know what, like, I'm okay. I don't need to, I'm okay with myself. Like, if this guy doesn't want me, cool, I'll move on to the next guy. I don't have to stab him in the throat or go crazy. Now, I hope we see that, but I honestly, in my heart of hearts, I don't think it's likely. I think she's just going to go flip out the whole season and we're going to see that.
Well, I also think what's being undersold in the first part of the episode that's more apparent in the second episode or the third episode, whatever, is that Zach is an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, seeing Bria right from the jump be all over him, and he's sort of, like, stoic about it, and he's pursuing other avenues. And on the first date, which we'll talk about, I'm sort of like, good for Zach, exploring other options. Like, he's way too linked with Bria for no reason. And then it transitions into the third part, and you see that Zach is, like, giving her this reassurance and then, like, dogging her to other people. And so when she, like, exposes him at the matchup, I was like, okay, like, there's hope for Bria here, that it's like not just her making up this connection with Zach and relying on it, that Zach has given her all of these signs back that he's down for it, and like then sort of is betraying her, just not based on like them being in a relationship, but based on what he's agreed to do and not do.
Exactly. And the thing that's bothersome about Zach for me is that he's playing with her so much by saying these things like, you know what, like, I could do what I want, I could go out and hook up with who I want, but then he goes to her and is like, you know what, like, I want you. And then he says in the confessional, well, I like the crazy. I like her going off because it gives me attention. I like being the center of attention. It's like, what nut job looks for people to go crazy so he could be the center of attention? I think he's low-key crazy as well. And I think that by him saying that he craves that attention so much where he could see someone have a meltdown about it, I just think that's like really odd, and I wasn't a fan of him kind of playing with her that much when she's clearly unstable.
Yeah, no, Zach is horrible. That's the real takeaway from this episode. Yep. All right, so let's, and there'll be more to talk about with Bria, but let's talk about the new twist of the game. So Terrence arrives like a breath of fresh air. Oh, I missed him. And introduces a new twist called the Fate Button. Jessica Sterling says, please share your opinions on the Fate Button.
Okay, so we'll do that then. The one thing that first came to my mind was that, do you think that the combinations of people are, like, obviously I know it's supposed to be random, but do you think that the producers just selected and like it's all chosen before, no matter who presses that button, who's going on those dates.
Oh, this is called the producer intervention button.
Yeah, that's sure. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that like we were on the same page with that. So I think it's okay. I guess it's to cause more drama because they want random people going on the date. Like Bria will never get on a date with Zach. Like, you know, they want to mess with her and they want to throw a wrench in her plan and see her go crazy. So like, I think it's okay for more drama. Like, I get it. Do I have a strong opinion on it? No.
So I think it's two things. Like, I didn't even notice this till the third episode, but like it replaces challenges because that's how you used to get set up. So I don't think there will be any more challenges, which is a little upsetting. I feel like they're going to have to, in like a way it sort of dragged for me because it was a lot of in the house time and no like fun little quirky gumbo spoon challenges or whatever. Like I was
about to say that one.
Like I like the ones where it's like, you know, which guy like has 15 tattoos or like which guy like slept with his bottles while he was 21. Like I like when they do little games like that and then you can like pick your matches. So in that way, like I think some of the fun is taken out with the button. But as far as producer intervention, like I have no problem with that because I even think they will want to put some people together who are going to be matches to help if like the people are really far off track. Like, I think they don't want them to, like, screw up the whole time and will pick good pairs for the dates.
Yeah, no, that I get, you're right. I guess they're not going to just completely sabotage them. And at the same time, they have all the power. So if they really want to, they could do whatever they want with the matches. They could say in the final episode when they have two matches that, oh, you got 10. So, like, I just feel like that no matter what, we're going to get producers stepping in and doing what they think is best for the show, even if it's by talking to someone and influencing them like that. But, like, I like it for the fact that they're going to spice things up a bit. I also will miss the challenges.
What I do like is that the dates are randomized, like that you're sort of, it's a group date. I like that. I almost wish it was three people. Like, I like that you have, and at first I was upset, like with the first vote in, like if they don't come back from the date and tell you how it went, like how are they voting? Like the house has to vote people in before they've even seen a connection. But as we see in the second vote on the third episode, I do think it's like very interesting that as the house gets to know the people, they'll be better able to see like who would actually make a good connection. So I think that little variable that I didn't like is taken out as people get to know each other. And I like that it's like a group setting.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that. But the thing is the challenges, I feel like that kind of gave us, even though the challenges weren't too serious where it's like, oh, you could win money. They were running dates. Like, obviously it was important, but it wasn't anything too detrimental. Now, I do miss that kind of like fun, lighthearted, like let's watch these people crawl through under a thing and be blindfolded and have to pick the other person up. Like, it was silly, you know, and I will miss that.
And I do wonder if it had something to do with, I think last season, like we always were like, why aren't these people like manipulating the challenges? Like, why are people winning who shouldn't win?
Yeah.
And I think last season was the first season they really successfully took advantage of who should win the challenges. And so maybe MTV was like, no, we're not doing that anymore. I don't know.
True. That makes sense.
So let's talk about how the date went. So Zach and Tomas, and in this way I liked it because we hadn't seen anything from Tomas, matched up with Callie and Maria to go swim with dolphins.
Cool. And then they're in the blue waters of Hawaii.
I was just in Hawaii doing research.
Me too.
For the podcast. Oh, were you?
Were you really in Hawaii? I was. Yeah. That's where I was on vacation.
Oh, that's so funny. So yeah, Adam and I are recording three episodes in one because we were both on vacation. Where were you in Hawaii?
Where they filmed. I was in Oahu.
Were you in Kona?
No, that's I don't know. I don't think so. Honestly, like if I was, I had no idea.
No, I think Kona's on the Big Island with the volcano.
Oh, okay. No, then I wasn't there.
That's so funny. I was in Oahu for 2 days.
Isn't that insane, though, that we were both? It's not only is weird that we were both in Hawaii. It's weird that we were both in Hawaii and they filmed in Hawaii. The show we're podcasting a week later. Like, that's really odd.
I have very weird, like, well, people know this, but when Brian and I got put together as podcasters by Rob, we worked on the same street. Like, we worked across the street from each other.
So this is you. Like, this is all, and you're just filled with these weird situations where, like, you happen to be at this place at this time.
I'm a crystal healer and I want to make bangles for the boys. That still kills me that Zach makes jewelry. Anyway, I do think Are You the One has once again nailed the descriptions of the people. So I paid attention really only when people were on the date. So you had Callie, the emotional roller coaster, paired with Tomas, who can't commit, Zach, who's addicted to drama, and Maria gets bored easily. And I think that was very accurate.
Yeah, no, it really described all of them pretty. And oh, one thing I want to say about Tomas, when we started the show, he said, like, he the first conversation, I think the show started with, it might have started with him. And he was like, I'm from Miami, I have an accent. And like, he brought up the fact that he had an accent. I feel like the whole point of having an accent is to like have that allure and that mystery behind. Like, the minute you bring it up, it stops becoming cool. So that bothered me right away about him. And
see,
I thought he was saying
he hated his accent because he moved to Miami when he was young and he like shouldn't have an accent anymore in his mind.
Oh, wow. We're breaking this down, aren't we? Like, this is, I honestly.
Maybe that was wrong.
I
thought he said.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, I guess not a hot take anymore. I do think if he said that, then you know what? I get it.
We're coming to the point in my notes where I wrote, Are You the One does not work for me in a 2-hour episode. So maybe I'm wrong.
I guess you're not lying.
So I kind of felt like everyone on this date had zero chemistry with each other. So I was a little surprised when Zach and Maria kissed.
I agree. I do. I didn't see any, like, I do like Callie. I think she's like a very cute, bubbly girl. And I think she's, I don't know. I just like that. She didn't feel like she was super like drama filled. I did like that about her. But you're right. I didn't, and like when her and Tomas were like talking about this odd chemistry, I didn't see it based on the edit. For Maria and Zach, I just feel like maybe they were both, it was like at the point where like we're on a date. Like Zach was like, okay, I want to kiss someone other than Bria. I want to start drama. Obviously he wanted to start drama. Yeah, but I didn't see anything beyond that. Oh, he's a dick. All right. But no, I didn't see anything as well with from this couple that it should go beyond this.
I mean, Callie, I like Callie, and I like when she starts up with Brett, but she did laugh cry about how much she loves everyone in the house.
Yeah, that was weird.
So
that was weird.
We're gonna see some interesting things from her, I think.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah, when Zach says they kiss when they go to the truth booth conversation. That's when Bria had like a scarily normal reaction to the information.
Which is impressive. Like, good for her.
But so yeah, Maria and Tomas, and I think because of the fate, we're going to get a lot less. I mean, the truth was weren't that helpful really anyway. So Maria and Tomas get voted in, which is not really any different than when they normally have someone arbitrary on the date. Obviously not a match.
No, and they were both very clear that they did not want it to be a match.
All right, we have to talk about the evil smoocher, Daniel, who to me literally just fell out of 2003.
Right? It seems like he's like doesn't fit in with like anything. Like the way he's acting, and like I feel like it feels like he's like constructed by a computer. Like I don't think he's real.
He's like sort of like a soft, but he also like works in Coney Island. You know, like he's like, I think he's from New York or New Jersey.
He's from Brooklyn.
Like, I don't, he's a cartoon character. Like, he literally reminds me of, what's the thing, the guy who wears the visor side upside down and sideways, like that, what's that movie? I'm giving you no information.
Yeah, visors, I feel like not many people wear visors at this point in time, so like, I should be able to pick it up, but like, I don't know who you're talking
it's
about.
It's like Malibu's Most Wanted. And that movie came out in 2003. I nailed it. That was not looked up beforehand.
Yeah, but you're right. That's exactly, like, it makes complete sense. And the fact that he like is super like, I'm gonna go make out with everyone, it's just like, where is this guy from? Like, I don't, like, I guess I just can't comprehend like how like making out with a bunch of random people would be like fun, like especially when just like he's like doing it to do it. But he just seems so bizarre and so weird, and it's like there's something about him that bothers me, and I'm sure that's probably wrong because I'm just looking at his face, but like he just bothers me.
It's how he introduces himself to people. What did he say during the matchup? Like, it's how he can open himself, bringing himself closer to you and taking down the barrier between us.
Oh, my
like,
God.
What
That's
kind
the
of
biggest
nonsense?
Bullshit I've ever heard in my life. That's like, I can't comprehend how anyone in that house. I could see Tevin being like, you know what? Like, I get it. But, like, I feel like everyone else would be like, all right, like, you're just literally making the most roundabout excuse to make out with as many people as possible.
Oh, he called himself the smooch villain. The smooch villain. I like the evil smoocher.
Yeah, I think, but I just the word smooch, like when it's like self-proclaimed, like I feel like if it's about someone else, it's kind of funny. But like if you're like, yeah, I've been smooching a lot, like I feel like I would cringe if somebody said that about themselves.
He kissed Maria, Lauren, Nutza, Samantha, and Morgan.
And then Kenya, right?
Yeah. Good for him. Let's, I just love how you're saying something bothers you about his face.
It's so mean. I think it's his smile. Like, it's just, like, so goofy. And, like, I'm not saying he's a bad-looking guy. It's just I look at him and I'm like, if I was a bit foot taller and more jacked, I would punch you. But, like, obviously I don't have that in me. And it's probably a double standard because I would feel terrible if I said this about, a female because I would just be like, okay, that's really, like, wrong. Like, but for some reason, this guy, like, I don't feel bad. I'm just like, he's douchey and that's it.
Very Bria of you.
He'll probably watch. They'll be the one to listen to the podcast and like really like us up to this point.
That no one likes us. It's fine.
No, that's true. And I'm okay with that.
All right. So we get to the first matchup of the night. The blackout rules are in effect, which means they will lose half of their money if they black out. And the men are up first to make their selections. So Zach picks Bria. Kevin calls out Kenya and Daniel, but then ultimately picks up Kenya. Kwasi picks Asia. That is an attractive couple, and we haven't really talked much about Asia. I think Asia has definite Kaylin vibes.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think of Asia?
She's the one who went on the second date, right? With
yes.
Okay, yeah. She's honestly okay. The only thing that I didn't like about her is that everything she said felt like she was putting on. Everything she said, like, felt like she was putting on. Like, it didn't feel like she had one sentence where she was just kind of, like, letting her guard down and being herself. Like, everything felt like she was, like, kind of, like, planned it out before or something that she had said before. And I wasn't a fan of that. And I understand it's the beginning and you want to, like, act a certain way or look a certain way. So I really hope we could see her kind of, like, let her guard down a bit, which that's the only thing that bothered me. And it honestly might be the only thing that I really have for Asia right now.
That's interesting. I was buying what Asia was selling, but time will tell.
True. Very true.
All right. So are you still on the MTV cast page?
Yeah. Well, I'm on the Wikipedia, so I have all their ages and locations.
Okay. I want everyone, including you, to go to the MTV Are You the One cast page and look at Brett's photo. So Brett's up next. Uh-oh. Brett picks Callie out of nowhere to Callie, but ends up starting a relationship out of this. In this cast photo, he looks like he's wearing one of those, like, lumberjack hats that has, like, the furry front and the flaps that go down.
Oh, no. Like, circa 2011, like, that, like, kind of hat?
Yeah, can you see it? Have you pulled it up yet?
I'm going through their cast photos right now, like, these high-quality, photos. Okay. Oh, for some reason, they're showing all their individual ones first. I'm just going to go to Google Images because it'll make this easier. And I was just on this, too, so, like, now.
Actually, I'm just going to send you this photo.
I got it. I'm here.
I sent you a photo. Oh, my
God.
Do you see what I mean?
Why? Like, it just doesn't make sense in this era. Like, I don't get that at all.
It's just like, it looks like, I thought he was wearing, like, a big Russian hat. And then he wasn't. So that's it.
That's so weird. Like, I'm just, like, baffled by, like, how anyone this year could, like, think that's, like, a solid thing.
I mean, I'm kind of into it. I think he's pulling it off. But I just thought it was amazing that it looks like he's wearing a hat with the flaps up. So everyone check that out. Maybe I'll just make that the photo for the podcast. Like, I think Scott would be like, what the hell is this doing as the picture for the podcast? Yep.
That's a hat. Are you sure that's a hat?
No, it's not a hat. It's his hair.
Oh, it's his hair. I thought you said it was a hat.
No, it looks like a hat.
Oh my God. Well, I'm very confused now because I'm like, that's a hat. That's the weirdest hat of all time. God, I
do you know what I mean?
More.
It's like one of those Russian hats.
Yes.
Where you, like, tie up this.
Well, I was convinced it was a hat for the first like 30 seconds of you just talking about it. Wow. God, he needs a haircut. It is circa 2011 hair, by the way. So I'm not wrong with that.
So then Cam picks Kayla and outs his politics the rest of the house and gets a roar of booze. Tomas picks Morgan. Shamoy picks Maria. Cow guy picks Lauren. That's what I wrote it down as. That's Andrew. Mo picks Jasmine. Daniel, the smooch villain, picks Nutza, which I actually could see as a match. Like, I'm shipping Daniel and Nutza.
Me too.
And then Lewis picks Samantha for a total of 3 beams. Strong start.
Which is extreme. Okay, is that the most we've ever had? I feel like I always ask you this.
I don't think it is. But maybe, like, tied for the most. But either way, a lot of beans.
Yeah, I'm extremely impressed with that. So, you know, good for them. And good for them with the 3 matches, right? And do you have any guesses on who it could be? Like, and I know it's early, so, like, it's kind of just a shot in the dark. But do you have any guesses on who it could be?
I think I'm shipping Nutza and Daniel. I think I could see Kenya and Tevin being a match. Like, being the one that gets it from the early on and, like, actually is a match. And then I'm sure it's, like, people we don't expect. Like, I'm trying to look for the list of who is matched up again. Like, Mo and Jasmine, maybe they're a match. Like, who's Mo?
That we have not seen one confessional with Mo, by the way. Like,
we
not
need
one.
Momo.
I know, we really do need Momo. And he's like someone, he's different. Like, he's, I don't know what, like, is he might be, he kind of looks Indian or Pakistani, which if he is, I'm really excited about that because I feel like we don't see that a lot in Are You the One? So I kind of want him to be featured a bit more.
Well, let's read Mo's bio. So we'll feature Mo here on the podcast. It says, nice. Growing up as a Middle Eastern kid in Texas, Mo has unfortunately endured plenty of stereotyping, but that hasn't changed his positive attitude. Mo is dedicated to giving back to his community and always tries to lead with warmth and a welcoming spirit. But there is a flip side to Mo's loving personality. Push the right buttons and Mo can turn into a total jerk. Mo's relationship success is largely dictated by which version of Mo is in control. Will Mo be able to leave his jerk side at the door and change his positive community building side to, or channel his positive community building side towards building a successful long-term relationship?
Oh, okay. That's not a hot take, but it's the hot bio.
Considering that there are 2 Mo's, I can't believe we didn't even see 1 Mo on the show.
There's 2 Mo's? Oh, Morgan?
No, he has 2 personalities, depending on which Mo's in control.
I just missed that completely. I literally just, I was like, wow, like I missed another Mo on the cast. I'm excited to see where this goes, you know, like where this Mo's. Yeah, where Mo goes. There was one scene in the episode with Mo, and it wasn't a real scene. I think it was Kenya who was, like, sitting on his lap, and he looked really drunk. And, like, he just literally, like, it seemed like he passed out into her boobs. Like, that was it. That was all we got from Mo.
Yeah,
it was super weird.
I do not know Mo. I hope we learn to know Mo about Mo. And yeah, I'm not going to stop doing this.
No, it needs to be. I feel like no matter who's listening, like, you have to do it for all the people. I'm very appreciative if you continue to do it.
So, yeah, you made the connection of Tevin to Clinton. I think the Jasmine, Kenya, Tevin love triangle is a full Jada, Uche, Clinton situation, except that Tevin is, like, actually seems to be interested in Jasmine, which Clinton was never really interested in.
Yeah.
But
I like that. I like that comparison. I like that.
I just can't believe Jasmine and Tevin make out like hardcore. They take a dip in the pool, as you set up before. Then he has the nerve to ask her for an over easy egg, which is like an art form and much different than scrambled eggs. Get the hell out of here, Tevin.
And then she's like, all right, yeah, sure. And then she's like, how do you do that?
Which is what everyone would have done in that situation.
Oh, for sure. It's I think it's funny that she was like to him, like, yeah, I got you. And then she went to like behind his back and was like, I have no idea how to do this. I thought it was just like, obviously it wasn't scripted. I just thought it was really funny. It was set up.
Here we see more of Asia for the first time, Asia and Lewis. What do you think about their potential as a match?
Of who? Sorry, you cut out
Asia.
For a quick second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Asia and Lewis?
Oh, I see, this is where I am kind of thrown off because obviously they hang out more than we see, right? So I feel like Lewis is extremely silly and he's just a little bit ridiculous. And it seems like Asia, as I guess she can be silly, it seems like she's a bit more serious. So I didn't see that connection like just by watching the edit. And then when she went on the date, who did she go on the date with? It was one of the random white guys. I don't remember exactly who it was.
Andrew.
Yeah, oh,
Couture.
Yeah. We, oh God. Oh, that name just like is super. I know it's his name, but like the last name Couture, just, it's cringy. Sorry. So I just feel like I don't see Lewis and Asia being a match at all. And I don't see them, and maybe I'm way off, but I don't see them pursuing each other more than halfway through the season.
Yeah, I didn't see them as a match. I mean, we get Asia's checklist. You have to have the right approach. You have to be intelligent. You have to have income, subheading transpo, and the conversation should flow. I think the fact that Asia is being like 100% herself and super direct and Lewis is into it is like a good sign, but I don't see them as a match.
No, I, like I said, I hope we see like a more, I hope we can see the real Lewis. Like as I'm sure he's a silly guy. I'd like to see him kind of maybe be a little vulnerable and even maybe shed a few tears, because it doesn't seem like he's the type of guy. And I like to see Asia kind of just let her guard down as well too. So maybe they'll both let their guard down and fall in love and get married. Who knows?
And that's like, we also get a checklist from Zach when we see Zach talking to Morgan. His checklist: talk good, conversation good.
Oh God, he's awful. He is so awful.
Yeah. This talk is good, when Rourke kept texting good? Me, had I gotten to the banging on the confessional part. And I could not have imagined that this is what she was talking about. I thought maybe Bria starts like hitting the walls in the confessional. What she does to that door while Morgan and Zach are in there is beyond belief.
Imagine being in that confessional, right? And you just hear Bria on the outside. I think I would have like a huge panic attack and maybe even a heart attack.
And you are right, though, like about like Zach's manipulation of it, because he enjoys the drama. Like, he's like telling Morgan not to open the door. Like, come on.
Yeah. And then when she eventually comes in and how he acts, like his, like, oh, smile. Like, he knows exactly what to say to, like, kind of get her happy again. It's like sick, twisted manipulation when he doesn't have to be a manipulator.
And then Bria blows up that Zach, like, and she does this more later, like, that Zach said, like, Morgan had a bad weave. Unclear why Asia has to tell Morgan that.
Because they all have drama. I think that's just it.
Very, very true. And then when Bria breaks down saying about how she lost her ex, I thought she was talking about her ex dying. And I was just like, in general, hands down, this has to be the craziest first episode for anyone in the history of reality television.
Yeah. And her ex is very much still alive, correct?
Yes. So far.
Oh, but yeah, until you never know what happened when Bria got home. But as of now, her ex is still alive.
So we haven't talked about Shamoy. Maria takes interest in Shamoy after the Zach situation sort of blows up for her.
Shamoy, could we just comment on his name? Like, that's a pretty cool name, right? Like, Shamoy's a nice name.
I love Shamoy.
So do you love his name or do you love him as a person?
I love it all. He's so cute and sweet, and he had to grow up without his mom. She was in the Virgin Islands. Like, oh, I was loving this couple. I love Maria and Shamoy.
He seemed genuine, right? Like, that's the vibe I got, that he seems like a genuinely nice guy who's maybe missed out a little bit because he obviously didn't have a mom when him and his father moved to America and all that happened. So I liked him as well, and I feel like it's very odd for me to say I liked one of the guys because I'm usually just critiquing them. But he's one of the few people I did enjoy this episode.
I'm going to read Shamoy's bio too. Anyone we didn't really hear from, I'll read their bio.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Raised in the U.S. Virgin Islands, Shamoy is all about the island life and is hoping that those positive island vibes will help him launch a successful clothing line. Is this a new, Cheyenne's clothing line, which I am a patron of. I bought a shirt.
Oh my God, you're right.
So maybe I'll buy a Shamoy shirt.
Yeah, well, it's got to look good, though. You can't just, don't blindly do it. You gotta believe in the product.
I do believe in the product. That's when I spend my own money on Cheyenne's shirt.
Exactly. And it's four seasons removed, so you know you support it. Like, you know you believe in it. Shamoy, he's fresh. We gotta make sure we believe in it first.
So then it says, despite partnering with his brother to pursue his business endeavors, Shamoy's family was largely spread out growing up. Shamoy admits that being apart from his family has made him very clingy in his relationships. When Shamoy is into a woman, he wants to be with her 24/7, often leaving her feeling smothered. Will Shamoy learn that he needs to give his relationship some breathing room if he really wants to see them grow? That's the worst thing about him, is that he's clingy. Oh, love Shamoy.
Yeah, I want Shamoy of Shamoy.
Oh, Mo Shamoy.
We're going to have fun with these names this year.
Now I'm looking, I'm trying to see if I can see his clothing line. Doesn't look like it's like yet. Maybe this is it. Oh, this, make sure you take out my girl. Kaden made apparel. I don't know. Unclear if he, we'll see. More on that later. Shamoy, let us know what your clothing line is.
He's definitely listening.
All right. Then they have a luau. Now, I was going to say I was just in Hawaii. You were in Hawaii, too. I don't know if you went to a luau, but I never saw a luau like this.
No, the luau I went to was extremely family-friendly, and there was no twerking, and, like, everyone was polite and kind, and I sat next to a group of old women. So, no, it was not like this at all.
So, yeah, everybody's just bumping and grinding with grass skirts on, which I guess makes it a luau. And Nutsa goes in for Zach. Like, not only does she dance on him, but she's hooking up with him in public. Talk about not giving a crap about the wrath of Bria.
Respect, right? Like, that's impressive. I feel like 98% of this cast would not do that just because of Bria. But she's like, I don't care. Like, she won't do anything. And I guess she has a point. Like, she's not going to kill her on live TV.
Well, Lewis is the real homie who's like, go get some privacy. Go get some privacy.
That was so, that's what this is. That moment made me like Lewis. Cause I'm like, it's hysterical how he was so worried that Bria was going to have a meltdown that he like, it felt like a scene out of a movie where he was like so over the top, like trying to convince someone of something. I just thought it was great.
And this is when I started to be like, okay, Bria, like at this point, like, aren't you tired of flipping out? Like, Zach is not down for you. Like, Zach is making out with someone in front of you. Like, how many times do you have to, like, get pissed off, you know? Like, he's not following through. It's a wrap.
Did you, okay, so I'm going to ask you something about this whole situation. Do you think Zach is doing something wrong? I know what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about his, like, manipulation, his intentions. By solely making out with someone in front of Bria, do you, and I know we've talked about similar situations, but do you think by just making out with someone in front of her, he's doing something wrong?
I think he's doing something wrong because he has agreed to not do that.
I agree with you. No, I'm on the same page.
I think it's wrong. I think he could say to her, like, look, like, you're getting a little crazy. I want to be with other people. We need, and, like, he sort of says that at one point. I forget the timeline because, like, what is time? Like, I think he isn't being clear enough by saying, like, I want to pursue other people. If that's not cool with you, then we shouldn't be together. Like, you know, like, he's kind of saying, like, I won't be, at least in the beginning of this episode, he's agreeing to her terms and then just pooping on her.
Yeah, and that's the worst part. It's like, I feel like people dig themselves in holes because they're not honest, right? It's very easy in life, even if it's a tough conversation, just say the truth. And then it won't bite you in the butt later. All he has to do is go to Bria and say, look, I care about you. I like you, but we're on a show with 22 or 21 other people. Like, I'm going to explore my options. But he is not telling her that because he wants to see her blow up, which I feel like is so, it's going to damage this poor girl down the road. But you know what? I guess it's what you sign up for.
And I don't see how all of these women are, like, still into him. Like, as we transition into the next episode, and I need to do, like, a seventh inning stretch here. But, I don't get how, like, Samantha's still into him. Like, all of them are still into him. Morgan's ready to ruin her friendship with Nutso over it. Like, they're all fighting to be treated like crap.
It's sad. It's just really sad.
I mean, this guy with the stud in his nose, like, that's really, like, the most attractive guy on the show.
I feel like for normal people, no, but, like, maybe for Instagram models, that's what they're into.
I mean, Zach's a good-looking guy, but, like, it's not worth this trouble.
No, and I stand by this. I think he's just as, like, crazy as anyone. Like, he's got some weird tendencies, and I think he's crazy.
Morgan, speaking of crazy, the fact that she, like, she's like, don't infer. I mean, Nutso's inferring exactly what Morgan did, like, going to, you know, crack on with Zach. And then Nutso confronts her, and Morgan is like, I talked about respecting you. What? This is a television show. You can't lie.
There's no logic in anything they say at this point. Like, we're at the seventh season. Whether they lie, tell the truth, I feel like the logic is just out the window at this point.
If I were Nutso, I'd be like, roll the tape. I'm not inferring.
Let's get a replay. They go into TJ brings them into, like, a small room, and they show them a replay.
Yeah, let's do that. A little crossover. All right, so we get the next bait button. Asia and Nutsa get picked for the women. Cam and Andrew get picked for the men. They do zorbing on the water, which looked really cool, but I thought this date was like a pretty big yawn.
Yeah, they got the water orbs or whatever, and they gave it to them, and that was it. Like, they didn't really, it was a very low budget date.
I would have done that, though. I thought it looked fun.
Yeah, but like, I agree that it looks fun, but like, for like, Are You the One, it's like, they're like, it reminded me of the competition last year where like, they set it up in the backyard.
Weren't all the competitions in the backyard?
Let me rephrase. The competition where they had to like, carry the egg, right? That was it?
Yeah.
Where it was like, we're like, wow, like that, they really didn't put any time into this.
Backyard games.
Yeah.
I like how Nutsa comes in hot. She's like, I'm not interested in either of you. And then drops a little Obama did it better. Like, Nutsa's killing me. Like, she's like, you should really talk to more girls in the house, except for me. I don't think we're a match. I'm not really feeling you. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah, she's like, I don't think I'd ever be able to look someone in the eyes and be like, yeah, I don't think you're attractive. Like, I just would feel very guilty. I give her credit. You know, she's a little firecracker. And her last name is extremely tough to pronounce, by the way. We haven't talked about that. It's extremely important. Sikharulidze. That sound natural? Did it sound natural?
Sounds like someone's name that I would struggle to pronounce because I am not cultured. So kudos to the house for sniffing out the only real connection on this date between Asia and Andrew, and then it's a no match. So at least that was worth the time.
Yeah, but I think this is where I have questioned things. So obviously the producers are picking who's going on these dates. Do you think they saw the Asia and Andrew have that discussion, or they saw more than we did and were like, okay, like, let's see where this can go? Or because this one actually felt random.
Ask me that one more time.
Okay. So, like, no, it's my fault for wording it oddly. So, do you know how, like, we talked about before, like, the production manipulation with this? Like, they pick who's going to go on these dates. But this one felt really random. Do you think there's any chance that this one was actually random?
I mean, I think it's, look, if somebody from MTV wanted to insist that this is random, like, fine. But I think, like, in general, people are looking to find connections with people on Are You the One. So, like, sure, Tomas and Maria were like, we're not a match, and we're just homies, and I know we're not a match. I think for the most part, we're going to find people with the fate button being like, oh, our moms both grew up in Kentucky. Like, wow, we might be a match. Like, that's exactly what I'm looking for, hometown values. Or like, oh, you also like sports? I wanted someone athletic that we could be a match. Like, I think we're going to get people more likely leading in to the possibility that they're a match. So yeah, it does seem random. I don't know how they were picked. Maybe it was random, but I think like the fact that they thought they might be a match was just like the mist of Are You the One.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think my favorite like first date, like trying to find something similar, was last season when they're like, we both like music.
Right.
Like, all right. Exactly. Yeah, like, it's ridiculous, but you sort of spot on. That makes sense.
Now I'm, like, walking around the room with my laptop tethered to me with my headphones. Like, I am getting, I have no podcast endurance as we round the 18th minute of the second hour of this podcast. So thanks, everyone who still may or may not be listening. Before we get to the matchup ceremony, I have to point out that we have Kenya in her confrontation with Jasmine. Gives us a very important variation on the Alicia from whatever season that was. She used to say point blank period, point blank period. Now we have Kenya saying period point blank.
Is she okay? So let me ask you this, because you might know this better than me. Where was this originated from? Is this, because I know Devon said point blank in the period, but I heard that it was also said prior to that. Do you know where this point blank period, point blank, whatever, originated from?
I credit Alicia for bringing it to Are You the One.
Okay.
She said point blank period like 16 times in an episode.
And this is Alicia from five, the Corey's ex Alicia?
Yeah.
Okay, so now what is she saying this season? Like, what is the alteration of it?
So Kenya said, period, point blank. Put that on a t-shirt, Shamoy.
I guess I'll it makes that. Ooh, and then maybe Cheyenne could like go 50-50 and they can make some good money for her family. But there no, I you know what? Like I would like if she maybe created her own thing. But like at the same time, if I hear like somebody go occur or I'm not even going to try to do it one more time on any of these shows, I think I might I'm not going to stop watching. That was what I was going to say. But it's annoying.
All right. So let's frig, we have to talk one more thing with Bria. So she, I think this is like a little of the psychology of it. Like when she, Zach, who says it's selfish of him not to have backups, is like making out with Nuts and whatever. And then Bree just grabs him and goes into the boom boom room. And she's like, I have him wrapped around my finger. The truth is Bree no longer has him wrapped around her finger. Like you can see she's very confident in the beginning where she's like, you're done now. You're sitting next to me now. You're doing this now.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. And as she starts to lose him, she gets way more like, oh, well, like, now let's just go have sex, and now I have you back. And, like, unfortunately for her, Zach doesn't give a crap about anyone. But that, to me, made me really sad. Not that she had sex with him, she could do whatever she wants, but the fact that she did it as a way to sort of, like, try to get him back in her good graces so that she could be crazy again. And, like, that was just Zach's.
It shows his manipulation, like, and I know that wasn't his intention, like, oh, I'm gonna, like, F around in the back and like she's gonna have sex with me for it, but like it's like he got rewarded for being like the biggest douchebag, and like that does suck. That and like you said, she can do what she wants, but it felt like that was out of I want to keep you instead of like I care about you.
Right. All right. So let's get to the matchup. We have Kenya picking Tevin, Kayla picking Cam, Jasmine picking Lewis, which really then ruins the rest of the time, and not because she picked Lewis and Asia wanted to, but because she's wearing a white spandex bike short bodysuit. Did you notice this outfit on Jasmine?
No, and I'm really upset that I didn't notice this outfit. I feel like you could pick that out from anywhere.
I mean, credit to her, because if I had to put on a white spandex bike short bodysuit, I would die, but... I also don't have to put that on. Like, she does not have to put that on. She didn't look bad. It was just an unreal outfit. Asia picks Brett. Nutza doesn't want a wuss, so she picks Daniel? Okay.
Hard match.
Samantha, in her crushed red velvet undergarment, picks Zach. And then this I love. The girls begin to come for him. They start putting their stories together. Nutza starts supporting Bria. This is the takedown we needed. Probably not the one we deserved.
No.
Then we have Bria picking Mo. Morgan picks Andrew. Callie picks Tomas. Lauren picks Kwasi. Wow. Maria picks Shamoy, which is the saving grace of the whole thing. And then they get three beams again.
Wow, it's they're hot, but then Terrence like kind of downplays it though, right? He's like, you know what, like you think that's good, but like this goes quick because their weeks aren't really weeks here, and like no, and everyone obviously has to realize that. But I thought three beams even by the second matchup is pretty good. Like I know it stayed the same, but I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, they like a good host reprimand.
Yeah, and like remember how I almost forgot his name when Ryan used to like flip out on them, and it's like you guys need to step it up. Like I want to see that would be a great part of the season where we see Terrence flip out. I would love that because obviously you and I are both big Terrence stands.
No, I think Terrence is ready to blow. I think we'll get some nice Terrence.
As is much of the cast.
As is much of the cast. So I'm just going to look through. We usually look at this every season, but I'll week one, season one got two. Week two had four perfect matches.
Oh, wow.
Season two, they had two both weeks, so no difference. Okay. I mean worse. Season three had two and then a blackout, and then season four had three both times, one and two, weeks one and two, and then season five had two and then a blackout. And then season six had three and then one. So they're doing, on the whole, better than a lot of the seasons.
I didn't remember them getting three in last season. Like, that, I don't, like, the first episode. I don't know why I don't remember that at all. Like, I feel like, I thought they sucked way worse than that.
I feel like I'd be surprised if you did remember.
Yeah, it might, but that would probably reflect, like, I feel like it would reflect accurately the sadness of how much I pay attention to these shows and how I'm very into the intricate details of Are You the One, as many are.
We have a couple questions before we wrap up. Tyler Morton Caribo says, who is most likely to never be seen on camera until they're presented with their match in the finale?
Mo. I'm going to go with Mo, just based, but he to do with two personalities thing is intriguing. But just on the fact we got really nothing from this whole episode, there was also, and this is, I reflects the person I'm talking about, who is the blonde white girl that was like in it very briefly?
Yeah, her name is, oh, I didn't write down her list. Pick. Lauren.
Lauren, yeah, okay, because she's from West Virginia, right? Yeah, I think Lauren or Mo, and I'm probably being idiotic for choosing the people that we didn't see in the first episode, but I'm going to go Lauren, and then Mo's a quick backup.
I think Tomas also has the possibility True. Of sort of fading into the background. His cast photo is gorgeous, though. Everyone should check that out, too.
Really? I'm going to look at it.
So the thing about that also killed me with Lauren. I think that's also a good call. Mo, obviously, I agree with that. Lauren and Andrew are like, we could be a match because we both use the same very commonly used phrase to describe small towns, more cows than people. What a match.
Oh my God,
like, that is the perfect
right?
example of the crap that people are going to say.
Like, oh my God, like I honestly went to, I was in the first grade too. It's like, oh my God, I was in the first grade. It's like, if there's this like weird attraction, they'll like look for anything, but we can't expect anything less. Now I have a really hot question for you.
All right, give it to me.
Who is most likely, besides Bria, because that, I don't think it's fair, to go after the punching bag?
I think you're the one to answer that question. You're
no,
expert.
But it's, yeah, but that's where we have to fool the viewers where our ratings go up.
Let me think about this. Good question.
And it could be random too. Like, don't like, even if it's like, but it has to be out of anger. It can't be like, oh, they're gonna work out.
I think maybe Kenya.
That's who, honestly, I was gonna say.
Kenya, so, or maybe Kwasi. I could see Kwasi getting a little.
Well, he's like, he, if he's anything like me and we're from the same area, like, he might be into punching bags as well.
So we will be on bag watch over here. Last question. Susie Ann says, if the challenge producers passed on casting Alexis and Keith on Final Reckoning, do we think any of these jabronis have a shot?
I was thinking, like, after last season, it was a extremely like volatile season and there was so much going on. Keith and Alexis were phenomenal. I don't think that, as just based on first impression, that we're going to see any of these people on the challenge before we'd see someone like Keith and Alexis. So I would say
really?
They'd pass on them. At least for the time being, I'd say they'd pass on them over the previous cast.
Bria is already the queen of that challenge house.
But we thought, didn't like everyone think that Gio was going to be on the challenge and like just the craziness of the people? Like, didn't everyone think that the other crazies were going to be in the challenge that we've never seen? Like, I don't think it's as likely, like, as it might have been a few seasons back.
That's fair. I think they're probably going to be looking for people who get along with the production. Like, I bet Gio was a problem for production. I don't know how Bria's, if Bria's craziness is within the bounds of bringing her back. But that is fair.
Yeah, like Alicia, right? They apparently production loved her, so that's why she was kind of like put on a few different shows.
So time will tell about the challenge. I do think that's fair. I also think every year, I think, like you're saying, there are going to be more people brought on than there are, or who they bring on surprises me. So we will be watching for that as well.
For sure.
All right, so not bad. An hour and a half podcast for 3 hours of television. Hopefully this didn't drag too much for you guys. We will be back just covering an hour show. Just like 2 hours isn't good for either one. 2 hours isn't probably good for us either. So thanks for sticking with us. You can subscribe to all of the MTV podcasts. We have great coverage on the challenge, Final Reckoning going on right now with Brian Cohen. And then this will be on the same feed at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me at Lash Tweets, and they can follow you
at Adam Bongo.
And we will see you next time.